As we watch conservative Christianity, political power, and economic might continue to converge in this country, a predictive model of that process has been available at the nation's largest retailer, right next to the Milk and Mom Jeans. In 2009, Welton spoke with Bethany Morton, who had just published a provocative book titled To Serve God and Walmart, The Making of Christian Free Enterprise.
Ralph Reed, former head of the Christian Coalition, once said, "If you want to reach the Christian population on Sunday, you do it from the church pulpit. If you want to reach them on Saturday, you do it in Walmart." Reed could have been talking about geography. Walmarts are more prevalent in parts of the country traditionally associated with religious conservatives, places like the Sun Belt and the Ozarks. But a new book argues that there is more to this equation than mere location. Bethany Morton is an assistant professor of history and women's studies at the University of Georgia. And in her book, To Serve God in Walmart, Morton provides a fascinating window into the role religion has played in the history of the world's largest company. As Morton tells it, Walmart's approach to business has been based on two ideologies, free markets and Christian evangelicalism, a combination of which has produced the secret to Walmart's success in an area of the country that would have been most resistant to the rise of the chain store. Bethany Morton joins me now by phone to tell us more about this. Bethany, welcome to State of Belief.
Thank you so much for having me.
How explicit is this relationship between religion and Walmart? Did Walmart set out to be an evangelical Christian company?
Definitely not, and it's actually very important to bear in mind that this was not a company start. There are companies out there that have been started, like Chick-fil-A, for example, companies that are very explicitly ministries in a sense. And Walmart is not in that category. This was a hard-nosed businessman from the Midwest who sort of cast down his bucket where he stood, and what he dipped up there in the Ozarks turned out to be a culture that brought with it a religious revival that has really turned Walmart into the Saturday megachurch, in Ralph Reed's words, as you quoted there. So when you look at the Walmart founding family, you're not talking really about people who are anything we would recognize as the new Christian right.
Bethany, I'm curious, did you go into this book project knowing that religion was going to play such a large role in the story?
You know, it's so funny you ask that, because I ran into a fellow that I had met at a conference years before when I was first starting this. I ran into him again not long ago, and he said, "You know, I was so interested to see this religious theme come up in your work, because when we talked about it last, there was no suggestion of that at all." So apparently, I didn't go into it expecting to see this. It's just kind of hard to spend as much time as I spent in the Ozarks and down in Central America with the other part of the story, and not recognize that that religion is the way most people make sense of the world, mm-hmm. in those settings, and you must take it respectfully, take it seriously, if you're going to understand any other kind of development, including this economic colossus that comes out of this area.
But isn't it ironic how a company that espoused family values in the form of service to others came ultimately to represent unbridled capitalism? So where do beliefs of evangelicalism and this belief in the free market intersect?
And that's the question that, you know, that we come back to. How do you, when we talk about, well, there are these economic issues, and then there are these cultural distractions that, on the one hand, you have Milton Friedman-style free market economics that becomes our national orthodoxy after the 1970s, and on the other hand, you have these what are portrayed as these somewhat silly distractions like anti-homosexuality and anti-abortion politics. And the normal story of the culture wars is that somehow these unbridled capitalists figured out to manipulate people who care about abortion and homosexuality as their top issues, that the financiers and the capitalists manipulated them into voting for administrations that would then turn around and enact this economic vision. And that struck me, again, as somewhat condescending. And so you have to ask, what might these two issues represent more broadly for people that would make this a more reasonable bargain between Jerry Falwell and Milton Friedman, right? Mm-hmm. Who are odd bedfellows, if you think about it. These are not men you would really...
Yeah, they wouldn't want you to use that term.
Precisely. So why would, here's Jerry Falwell running around denouncing a cartoon character for being insufficiently manly, and here's Milton Friedman pushing monetarist policy in Chile and finally the United States. What on earth do these have to do with each other? And again, you go back to the experience of work. People's work experience in the United States after the middle of the century was primarily service-based. And the work of service is the work of reproduction, using old-fashioned economic terms, reproductive labor versus productive labor. Productive labor is, mining the iron ore and building the railroad and so forth. Reproductive labor is taking care of people and serving people. And that became more what we do with 8, 10, 12 hours of the day that we spend on the job after, particularly starting in the 1970s. So how did that affect what people considered was important? Well, one thing I think it did was raise these issues that are dismissed as these silly cultural issues like opposition to abortion, raised those to paramount importance because those are the two issues on the table that have directly to do with reproduction.
And but let's extend this irony just a little bit further, because the irony is that Walmart today, though beginning with an affirmation of family values, to many people represents greed and consumerism, the very opposite of family values. There's a lot of discussion now, as you know, that the current economic crisis that we're experiencing is a derivative of that kind of greed. So what does this mean for the future of Christian free enterprise?
I didn't meet anyone in the many years of doing this research who felt that Walmart or, Sam Walton himself, who comes to be this kind of mythic representative of Walmart, that either of those could be described as motivated by greed. Mm-hmm. I didn't meet anyone who would have told you that. What they mm-hmm. would have said was that this company is enjoying success because it has fulfilled a meaningful role for many people. It allows you to shop for your family. Think about the Walmart commercials you've seen. These are people pushing these huge carts down these aisles, getting everything they need to care for their families. And that's actually literally who shops there. That's the majority of the shoppers, right? They're not making this up. You have to remember that when Walmart came on the scene, rural consumers were deeply underserved, if you want to think about mm-hmm. consumption that way, by the distribution mechanisms in place. And the work of provisioning a family is serious labor. And to take that labor seriously and to, frankly, incorporate the women who do that labor, largely in the United States, it's women who shop for their families and spend hours a week doing this, to take that seriously was, for a lot of people, to perform a real service. And you have to remember, too, that there is a strain in American evangelical tradition of celebrating abundance and of taking joy in that kind of concrete expression of success. And this is not luxuries. These are not people buying most of the history of Walmart. These are not people buying luxury items. You don't mm-hmm. have to worry about the sort of sin of sensuality when what you're buying is a 24-pack of Capri Sun to put in your kid's lunchbox. That's not luxury consumption. That is necessities. Yeah. That is service in the view of many people who worked there.